any supermarket and pick an aisle. Cereal, say, or yogurt. It seems as if we have an incredibly diverse selection of things to eat, but the fact is, we do not. While we have the capacity to grow thousands of edible plants, our industrial agriculture system has caused us to lose so much biodiversity that at this point, some 3/4 of our food comes from only 12 plants and 5 animal species. Simran Sethi is an environmentalist and journalist who documents this phenomenon in her new book, Bread, Wine, Chocolate: The Slow Loss of the Foods We Love. Our contributor, Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan, talked with Simran about her idea that true appreciation, learned through taste, might be the only way to keep our favorite foods from eventually disappearing.
Hi, Simran. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So you write that we're losing foods. What do you mean?
What I mean specifically is that we're losing biodiversity in foods. We're losing the diversity in every element that makes food and agriculture possible, from diversity in the soil to diversity and, you know, the actual existence of pollinators to the seeds that we sow, the fruits and vegetables that we grow, and even the animals that we raise for livestock.
So when I go into the supermarket, it sure doesn't seem like we don't have diversity. I look at the yogurt aisle alone, right?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I decided to pay a visit to Walmart, which is the number one grocery chain in the United States, and I counted 153 flavors of ice cream, 8 different types of yogurt, and then I looked on to the sour cream and the butter and the cottage cheese, and, you know, it looks like we have a plethora of choice, but it's primarily in flavor and secondarily in brand. And I'm just using, you know, ice cream and dairy products as an example, but 90% of them came from one breed of cow, the Holstein Friesian.
Wow. So what difference does it ultimately make, Simran? Like, what are the stakes?
Well, the stakes are really quite high, Joe. And I'll tell you, it's not just relegated to ice cream and milk. You know, this is what we see echoing through the apples that we find in the grocery store. We have the capacity to grow over 7,500 apples all over the world, but less than 100 of them are grown commercially in the United States. And about 5 of them, including one that I have no idea why it's there, the Red Delicious, not at all delicious,
only ends it's up on red, store but not
shelves.
Delicious. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Very red, not delicious. Exactly. And every historic fruit and vegetable variety that was once found in the U.S. has now disappeared. This matters because we need diversity for resilience. There's no investment advisor that would ever say, okay, Joe, take all of your savings and put them in one stock and cross your fingers and hope for the best. Yet globally, 95% of our calories now come from 30 species, and 3/4 of the food we eat comes from 12 plants and 5 animal species. And so we're creating this treacherous food system deliberately because it seems to make, of course, it seems to make more sense in terms of efficiency, in terms of scale, but it doesn't make sense for the actual product that is being created and one that we need in order to survive, and that's food.
And there have been some disastrous consequences of the loss of diversity through our history, right?
There indeed have. You know, the Irish potato famine was the result of a disease that wiped out most of the potatoes that were grown. 1/3 of the population depended on potatoes for food, and 1/8 of the population, about 1 million people, ended up dying. And it's not simply a consequence of the loss of biodiversity, but everything that's kind of around it. We see this happening right now with the loss of the Cavendish banana. It's a banana that replaced the banana that used to be in its place in the 1960s, known as the Gros Michel. And it's succumbing to a different strain of the exact same soil fungus that compromised the earlier banana. Now, if you think we can grow thousands of bananas, and we do globally, but now we've reduced this to just one banana that stands strong on store shelves and ships well, we realize that we're creating a really treacherous situation, and one that not only compromises the availability of the banana, but the availability of every single fruit and vegetable that we hold dear.
I was so fascinated by the story that you wrote about the pistachio, which, you know, it wasn't about industrialization really at all as much as politics, right?
Exactly. You know, the center of the world's pistachio industry used to be Iran. And back in 1929, a botanist traveled to Persia, which an area that's now Iran, to collect pistachios in hopes of finding a variety that would be suitable for growing in America. And out of 20 pounds of nuts that he gathered, there was only one variety that flourished. And that nut has become the foundation of the pistachio industry here in the United States. And the reason that American pistachios took over wasn't because of the loss of diversity in the Middle East, but it was because of a trade embargo that President Jimmy Carter imposed back in the 1980s as a result of the hostage crisis. So we see here that the ban that devastated the Iranian pistachio market ended up empowering the American one to build its capacity. So there are a host of reasons that we lose diversity in certain areas. Researchers recently learned, led by a gentleman named Colin Corey, that the whole world has moved toward what we call the global standard diet. We see pockets of biodiversity, but globally what we're seeing is a trend toward standardization, a trend toward wheat, rice, corn, soybeans, and palm oil. This is what the world is eating now. And this is a challenge because we see that in place of the crops that have been grown that were diverse are these standardized, high-yielding hybrids. And so if we lose the diversity, we lose the resilience that we have in order to reach back in and find solutions when a crop succumbs to disease or to pests or with climate change where we don't know exactly what will happen in the future. We need these backup systems. But conservationists haven't really considered us part of the equation, the eaters. We also have the power to transform this system. Anything outside of those five foods, the wheat, the rice, the corn, the soybeans, and the palm oil, becomes a revolutionary act. So this is really about pivoting in the grocery store toward the olive oil or turning toward the heirloom tomatoes or craft beer or the craft chocolate or the specialty coffee. All of these opportunities are in our hands, and they really are ones that will transform how food is grown and what is available.
Simran, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's fascinating.
It's been my great pleasure. Thank you.
Simran Sethi is author of Bread, Wine, Chocolate, The Slow Loss of Foods We Love. Joe Yonan is the author of Eat Your Vegetables, Bold Recipes for the Single Cook. In the spirit of conservation, be sure to check out our recipe for little French fudge cakes. You'll find it at splendidtable.org.